And I'll try to speak loud as there's no microphone down here, obviously. Today, we're getting close to Christmas, so I've been asked to kind of give a little bit of a Christmas message and something that we can think about. And I know we all think a lot about the Lord Jesus and His coming and as a babe at Christmas time, but there's so much to that, and it's so rich, and I found so much blessing in reading just small portions of Scripture regarding His birth and His coming. And the one thing that really stuck out to me was the theme of good news. And so we're going to talk a little bit about good news today. And I'm sure you've all received good news in your life. I'm sure you received bad news too. But we all seem to remember the good news that we receive. And you can probably all imagine what it's like to receive good news. I know the first time that I heard that we were going to have a baby, that was good news. And my heart was filled with joy. And it was really, really something that was amazing. And I can just imagine when we told my parents and my grandparents and the good news to them and what that meant to them. And so we can think about that this morning. And just before we get into it, let's just open in word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing. Our God and Father, we thank You for this time we can come together this morning. We thank You for Your word and the truth that is in it, Lord. We thank You that You can speak to us through Your word and through others, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that You would use me this morning, and it wouldn't be my words, Lord, but Your words. And may You just minister to the hearts of those here. We pray for the children upstairs too as they prepare and practice for this evening, Lord, that they would be mindful that this is for Your honor and for Your glory, Lord, and that they would know that they carry such a great message of good news. And we just would pray Your blessing on them as well. And so we just ask for Your help this morning as we open Your word, as we open Your scriptures. Help us to understand what You would have to say to us. And so we just ask Your blessing on this meeting now and for the remainder of the day as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, probably many of you are very familiar with this. Probably many of you read this on Christmas morning, maybe with your families, and you read this together, the Christmas story. And maybe you just read through it, and you just kind of go through the thing, and you've done it for 15 years, or 2 years, or 30 years, and it just seems to become a read. But I want us to take this morning, maybe go back in time in our lives to when we were a kid, and put on that kid-like mentality as we read this story of Luke chapter 2. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governor in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. So, as we read this morning, and as we've read this many times, if we just would look at a couple verses and just think about the amazingness of the event that took place 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus Christ came as a babe. We'll start just looking by in verse 10 here. We'll go before that, verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Now, we'll just stop there and we'll think about that for a sec. I don't know how many of you have seen angels before. I know I haven't. Maybe you got some in your living room or something that you hang out with on a regular basis. But this would be pretty unbelievable. I don't know what they would have looked like. I don't know if they were 6'2" or 62'4" or something, you know, but it would be some kind of an amazing event. And as always, when angels appear in the Bible, the first thing they say is, "Do not be afraid." And of course, they're terrified. They're just absolutely terrified at what they're about to see. And not only do these amazing creatures show up and announce this, but who they show up to. They show up to the shepherds. The shepherds who are not even in the city. They're way out on the hill somewhere. The shepherds who aren't even allowed in the temple because they're righteously, ceremonially unclean. The lowest of the low, these angelic beings, show up to them. And what do they say in verse 10? "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people." Good tidings can also mean good news. "I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people." And they were the first ones to know, but it's for all the people. And this is truly amazing. You know, like, we don't even understand what class that these shepherds were in. But for God to speak to them first, after the baby had been born. And you know that feeling when you receive good news. Usually what happens is someone comes up and is like, "I got something to tell you." And you're kind of like apprehensive maybe. And you're like, okay, this could be good. This could be bad. But then you hear the good news. And you're filled with extreme happiness and joy in your heart. And it's something that is just, it is not explainable. And for these shepherds to go from being extremely terrified, extremely worried about these angels showing up and really wowed and awed to a Savior has been born. Good news. And they must have just said, wow, you know, like, a Savior has been born. And when you go back in the Old Testament and you look at all the prophecies and they knew that somebody was coming, as it was read in the breaking of bread this morning, in Isaiah chapter 9, that a Savior was coming. They knew the Savior was coming. Now, if we put ourselves in this period, we can only imagine what this would have been like. You know, just being back in those days, and you know, there was no email. You couldn't like send a YouTube video to anybody. You couldn't do anything like that. It was just something that was just truly amazing for these shepherds to behold. Now, if we think about the circumstances at this particular time, if you take your Bible and you look at it and you go through the Old Testament, you go read all the way to the end, to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and you get there, and then usually in your Bible, you'll have something like this. It'll be like a blank page, and then the New Testament. It seems pretty quick and starts off right there with the genealogy of Christ, and it goes into the Christmas story. And you're like, wow, that happens pretty quick. But in that time, in that one blank page, there was 400 years of silence from God. 400 years. And I don't know about you, but like somebody that I love, if they don't speak to me for a couple days, I'm getting kind of worried about something that might be going on between us. Maybe I haven't seen them or whatever. Maybe I think they're dead or something like that. You can just imagine what the people of Israel would have thought in a time like this. 400 years of silence. You know, you get to the end of those generations, the end of those 400 years, and the kids are saying, you know, where's God? Is he dead? Is he really, really, really mad at us? Maybe he just doesn't have anything left to say. And it's 400 years of silence. And on that night, in all the midst of all that chaos of the angels coming, and it was tax day, and they were in Bethlehem, and they couldn't find a room, and they were in the side of a mountain in a cave, and they were under scandal. You know, Mary and Joseph, the way that it happened, it wasn't the way that it was supposed to happen in society. You know, they were looked upon as being under some kind of shame. And amidst all of this, God chooses to break his silence of 400 years by sending his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a baby. And the first sound that the Lord Jesus used to break the silence is the sound of a baby crying. And I've had a lot of experience with that recently. And, you know, it seems like he's so helpless, and sometimes there's nothing you can do to console him. But that first sound of God breaking the silence is a baby crying. And that just shows that he identifies with our humanness. He's come down to be with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And what good news that is. You know, these shepherds, they did the right thing. You know, the angel spoke to them and they said, you know, you should go see this baby. He's in a manger in Bethlehem. You should go. And they went right away. They obeyed. They went right away. They went to see this good news. And good news is the word of God. We know that. We know that his word is truth. We know that what comes from his word is truth and is good news. And in his word, his truth is revealed to us. Who didn't get the privilege to see him, or as we heard about last week, Paul meeting the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus and being taught by him. We don't get that, but we have his truth in his word. If you just turn to John chapter 1, you all know this very well as well. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." John puts in his gospel that the Word is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was Jesus, and he was with God in the beginning. And he was God in the beginning. Jesus was God. And so everything that God wants us to know, all the truth that he has is in his son, the Lord Jesus, in whom he sent to this earth. And a couple of verses down, we know this one very well. In verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh." The Lord Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And that's something amazing in itself. God stepped down from his throne, from his place in the heavens, in glory, and he became flesh. He came as a babe. He came helpless, dependent on his human mother, but yet still fully 100% God and fully the Savior of the world. I don't know, you know, just saying that now, you just take that in and to really realize what that is. That God sent His one Son to be the Savior of the world before time began. In the beginning, before time, Jesus was with God and Jesus was going to go and be the Savior of the world. And what joy that brings us today as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. What joy it is to know that there is a Savior and that He is the Savior of the world. He isn't just the Savior of these people over here. He isn't just the Savior of Israel. He isn't just the Savior of the good guys or the bad guys. He's the Savior to all. Amen. And the second part of that saying that the angels declared to the shepherds that night is, I bring you good news of great joy. Of great joy. We always see that great joy comes with good news. Always. We heard last week from our brother John Williams about the good news that came to Saul of Tarsus on that road to Damascus. And it changed his life. It changed his life. That good news that brought such great joy to Saul of Tarsus, who then became Paul, and in his ministry spread the good news to all that he came in contact with. And it brought him great joy. Many times in his word he talks about that he enjoyed suffering for the gospel. And it was all for the Lord. And that was the great joy in his life, was the good news that the Lord Jesus came. And in the story that John Williams told last week of that man who was singing on the ship with the next to the mast and under the starry sky. And back in the day, this guy had seen him and he'd heard him sing the same song there. And he was about to shoot him, but he didn't, because the good news of the words of the gospel penetrated his heart that he remembered from when he was a kid. And the good news preserved that man's life and changed another man's life. And that good news brought great joy to those people. You know, it's in reading these things and just seeing what the Lord has done in sending His Son is truly something that can't be held. You know, I know for myself, you know, we just go through. I remember when I was a kid, we'd read the story and I'd sit down and I know I was listening, but at the same time I was looking at the presents under the tree and being like, okay, like, are we kind of over with this now? Like, I don't, like, I've heard this a million times, I get it, like, I get it. And I wonder how much we do that sometimes. And at Christmas time, we tend to focus on it a lot, but then, you know, later down the road, in the middle of summer, you know, maybe we forget about it. And I know I do. I know that the good news isn't real in my life all the time, that it brings me great joy. And so you might be saying to yourself, well, I have joy. You know, I have joy in my life. Like, I, you know, we're laughing a lot and, you know, there's things like, but I'm not talking about like laughing and happiness like that. I'm talking about great joy. Great joy that only the Lord can provide, and only through His Son. And when you think of this event, of the Lord Jesus coming as a babe, to identify with the world, to be the Savior of the world, to come in and live amongst us. You know, I was listening to this thing on I think it was a DVD that somebody gave me, and it was about Christmas. And he was talking, the guy's name is Louis Giglio, he's talking about how him and his buddy Chris Tomlin, who's a musician, they went and they were asked to do a chapel service for NASCAR. And you might be thinking, well, NASCAR, that's kind of, you know, they race on Sundays, and maybe that he shouldn't have been there. Maybe he should have been at his home church worshiping or whatever. But he was asked to do a service for NASCAR, and the officials of NASCAR, they gave him 4 minutes and 9 seconds to do the devotion in the morning. That's all they gave him. And he said, you know what? I'm going to take all that opportunity and preach the gospel, preach the good news. And that's what happened. And he identified with them, and the Lord Jesus used him to identify with those drivers and the pit crew people and all the people that were there. And he read John chapter 1. He came down and the Word became flesh. And there was a couple people in the audience, and they said, okay, yeah, I kind of get that. You know, there's a couple amens and stuff like that. And he said, okay, let me put this to you in a different way. You know, the Lord Jesus came and lived in your area. Like, he was with you. He's with you as humans. And there's kind of some more. And he says, okay, let me put it in NASCAR terms to you. The Lord Jesus got in a motorhome and he drove right in to the driver's paddock, and he was with you. And he came and he dwelt among you in the midst of all this other stuff that's going on around you, whatever's going on in the stands and in the rest of the thing. He came right in the middle to bridge that gap. He came to you so that you could have eternal life. And, you know, some of us say, like, we hear people talk about, you know, working to get this eternal life and working and doing all these good works, but it'll never get you there. Because until you believe that the Lord has come down and done it for you, come in flesh and given his life for you, then you have nothing. And so I know that in my life, you know, I sometimes have this false sense of joy in my life. You know, things seem to be going pretty well, like nothing major bad has happened. I haven't lost all my money. You know, I haven't lost my family or anything. Like, thinking of some of the stories in the Old Testament, like Job and all these things. And you think that, yeah, you got joy in your life. But then you look at your life and you see, am I really having joy in the good news of Jesus Christ? Am I really living that out day by day? Am I relating that to other people that I come in contact with? That good news. And the good news doesn't just stop there, that Jesus came to this earth as a babe. The good news carries on to say that he lived a life that was perfect. And because of that, his blood was perfect. And because of that precious, perfect blood, it was the perfect sacrifice to take away the penalty of sin for the whole world. And because he offers that to you and to me and to the entire world, as he said to the shepherds, to all the people. And as it was said in the meeting this morning, I think Larry said it this morning, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And in that portion of Scripture in Isaiah, it says, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born. Not unto these people or those people, unto us, unto everyone. And we know that we have the truth in his word. And as believers, we know that this truth is to everyone. But does everybody around us know that? I know I'm guilty. I work with people that don't know that. And you see on TV, you know, people know about it, but they don't have the truth about it. You know, last night I was watching the hockey game, and Don Cherry came on and did his coach's corner thing, and he was talking about this series that was on, and they were following these teams around, and he says, you'll notice that when they film the coaches that they never take the Lord's name in vain. And I said, well, you know, that's true. Like, I watched some of it, and they don't. And Don Cherry, then he went on to say, he says, and remember, even though I'm wearing this Santa tie, it says, remember that this time of year is the time of year that the Lord Jesus came as a babe in a manger. He said that on TV in front of how many ever people watch Hockey Night in Canada. And you wonder, like, he knows it, but does he know it? And all the people who watch it, and they say, yeah, you know, we know that. We know that the Christians, they celebrate the whole Christ birth thing, but do they know why Jesus came to this earth? He came to save them. You know, we have that truth. We know that he came to save us. And if we can relate that to other people, then God gets the glory, and he puts joy in our hearts, and he puts joy in other people's hearts. And so if we can, you know, be in the Word more and be talking to the Lord on a regular basis through prayer and bathed in this good news. And as I said, the good news doesn't stop at the birth. It doesn't stop when he dies and saves for our sin. But the good news carries on to that he's coming again. He's coming again. And, you know, we think of this scene here where the angels show up and then lots of angels show up and the shepherds are afraid. How much more when the Lord returns in glory and the trumpet shall sound and everybody will fall on their faces and worship him. Believers and unbelievers, they won't have a choice. And the glory of the Lord, man, is just, I don't know, like I can't even find words to describe what that's going to be like, and I don't think we really are ever going to understand that until that happens. But we know that great joy comes with good news. And so, as we leave here today, as we ponder these things, as we read the Christmas story coming up, as we do the Christmas play later tonight, and the same story is portrayed in theatrics, in movement, and in memorization of the kids from these lines, let us not forget the good news of great joy, which is for all the people. All the people that will be there tonight, whether it's our unsaved loved ones or people we don't even know, whoever walks in that door, the good news is for all the people. And may they not leave not knowing that. And so we just, our prayer and our hope and our joy is in the Lord, that he would speak to them and that he would use these things this evening. We find that we often get disconnected from God when we're not in his word and we're not bathed in the good news. And that joy doesn't come. So let's be in his word. Let's be constantly in prayer. And let's be people that are after his own heart, that just take the good news to heart and give it to everyone. You know, I'm just so encouraged to hear stories at the prayer meeting, like Steve Nuttall sharing with the people at his work and Rob sharing with people at the school. And it's just so encouraging. And I talk to my buddies from the Cross Canada Cruisers and they're sharing with people the good news of the gospel. And so we can just stand firm in that, as Dave Carlos put in the breaking of bread this morning, on that firm, solid foundation that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can just build upon that and just be totally used by him. And so I encourage you to do that, to seek out that true joy that comes from the good news. So let's just close in a word of prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful that you decided to come down from your place on high in heaven and send your son as a babe, as a human, as flesh, to dwell among us. And someone who comes in grace and truth, Lord, we're so thankful for that. And Lord, we just would think of this time of year when many people know, quote unquote, what the true meaning of Christmas is, but they don't fully understand why you came to this earth. And Lord, we just pray that this would be the year that those who know would understand the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and why he came to this earth. He didn't come just as a babe. He didn't come to preach and to perform miracles. He came to die. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to be the Savior of the world, to save us from our sins, to set us free from the bondage of sin. And we just pray, Lord, this morning that you would use each one of us this morning to proclaim your good news to all the people. Lord, to go to every place, to our workplace, to while we're out, and that everyone would know the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that we would be longing for that great joy that comes from being in your word. That great joy that we can show to others, Lord, that people would long to know why we have great joy. And so we just give you thanks. We ask your blessing again on the children's program this evening, Lord. We just pray for each one that's coming out. Lord, I know that I probably have some family members that are coming out that are unsaved. Lord, and we just pray that this would be the year that you would speak to their hearts, Lord, and that you would just convict them of their need of a Savior, of their need to take this babe that lies in a manger and to put their trust in him, the one who died for them. And so we just give you thanks now, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.